Welcome to the DL debate. We are getting up our Zoom links and getting ready to go here. And Páraic Hilfert is in studio with me this evening. Páraic, how are you, lad?
How you doing, Brendan? You all right?
Very good. You can hear my voice. We're celebrating the Clare victory last night.
We had to give a few hugs there to poor Jimmy Stafford.
Jimmy's here producing the show, yeah.
Jimmy's not won a match, unfortunately, either.
No, he's not here. He's trouble jobbing at the minute, I think. he's getting all set up.
What a game, huh?
What an unbelievable game. What a man we have to talk about. Richie Powers coming on very shortly to the show, multiple All-Ireland winner, of course, Richie Kilkenny, legend that he is. We're then going to round up all the league action from the weekend here in Donegal in the company of Donegal News' Dara Bonner. Of course, Páraic was in the round of games as well. That's all coming up in the second part of the show. But first, I'm going to be talking to Richie Power. Richie, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Brendan?
I can. Coming through there, great. Richie, how are you, lad? Great to see you, sir, again.
Good, Brendan. Yeah, not a bother.
Friend of the show, Richie.
The excitement of yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, Richie, you've been in so many of those positions, so many of those finals and epic finals. Where does that one rank? Which I just keep saying, wow, during the game. It was just, it had absolutely everything.
Yeah, like it was, I think people, I suppose, after our game at Tipperary in the first game in 2014, would have kind of said that was one of the best finals, but I think yesterday's game definitely surpassed that. And I think the big disappointment or the big pity was that it didn't go to a replay, Brendan, because like everyone would have loved to have seen a repeat of that in 2 weeks' time in Bacincrow Park. And you know, to be fair to the players, they gave absolutely everything for 95 minutes. And you know, for amateur sports people to do what they did and to give what they gave over that course of time was just phenomenal.
Mm. And Richie, listen, I'd love to get your views on this, the way we've set up the calendar and you're on about replays. I mean, if you look at Clare, I suppose that's a fifth All-Ireland, you know, the three Munster final defeats, you know, the All-Ireland semi-final defeats. This was a team that was a wee bit back to the walls this season, Richie, in terms of they needed a title. I mean, it was a massive game. They seemed to just play pure hurling out there. There was absolutely no fear from them.
Yeah, like I suppose, look, Tony Kelly mentioned it in his speech, didn't he? You know, that the team has been a bit maligned for the last 3 to 4 seasons. But, you know, they won the league this year, Brendan, and probably, you know, I won't say at their ease, but, you know, I suppose probably in third or fourth gear, really. And obviously when they were beaten in the Munster final, I suppose there was a lot of questions asked. And, you know, they got through to the semi-final against Kilkenny this year again. And I suppose after losing to Limerick 3 times, they didn't want to kind of go down the same route with Kilkenny. But, you know, I look back to that semi-final and, you know, when you look at the Cork-Limerick semi-final, Cork hurled and they won that game. You look at the semi-final against Kilkenny, Clare were probably very, very lucky in regards to, you know, Kilkenny could have been maybe potentially out of sight at half-time, and then when they went 6 points up in the second half, they could have pushed on. So I think Clare came into this game in perfect position, because I think everyone was talking about Cork after beating Limerick twice this year. And there was a huge hype down in Cork that they were going to end their 19-year wait. And I think, you know, Clare were really, I suppose, waiting in the long grass. But, you know, after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, it looked like maybe Clare, I think Brian kind of said it after that, or no, it wasn't Brian, it was Anthony Daly on the Sunday game, that, you know, maybe Clare forgot to get off the bus again. But I tell you, when they came with a roll, they really, you know, they really got it together.
Yeah, and you know, the Kilkenny, I think, was huge in terms of, you know, going into this game with that confidence. You were early on the match when it won 7-4. We were actually coming back from a friendly, and I was tearing in to get on the game. And Páraic Lodge was saying Cork are in danger of running away with it. And even in my limited knowledge, Richie, of hurling, I was thinking to myself, there's never a hurling match where anybody is going to, you know, you're on about the 6 points up in the semi final. The momentum switches and the ability, there's never a time when a game just can't be flipped on its head, which it continually was yesterday.
Well, that's exactly it, you know. And look, I'll be completely honest with you, and I have the proof on my phone to say it. But I text my dad. Dad was on in the queue, like I was in the Hogan. But I text my dad after 19 minutes, and I said this game could be over at half time. I genuinely thought, you know, Cork started the game so well, no nerves, everything they were hitting at the post was going over the bar. You know, then Robert Downey probably scored one of the best goals in an All-Ireland final, and they just looked to be rolling. You know, it just looked to be kind of a continuing on from the semi-final win over Limerick, and Clare were just, I suppose, they were like rabbits in headlights. But then they kind of got hold of it, and Shane O'Donnell, probably the hurler of the year this year, you know, I suppose took the game by the scruff of the neck, and he popped two pints and set up the goal that got Clare back into the game. So, like as you said, it was kind of flipped on its head. And you know, when the two teams went in level at half time, I think the biggest difference between the sides then, I think, was maybe 2 pints, I think, swaying either side, you know, for the remaining 55 minutes, which was phenomenal viewing, really, from a neutral point of view.
Yeah. You mentioned Shane O'Donnell there. It's 11 years ago with that hat trick in the final, Clare beating Cork. How long is this man going? What age was he then?
He was 19 in 2013, Brendan. So he's like, Shane O'Donnell is still a relatively young man, 30 years of age, but huge amount of experience. Yeah. You know, and in fairness to the chap, he said it in the build up to this, like if they did win this one, he could enjoy it an awful lot more, because like I remember the euphoria and the I don't know how you'd explain it, but when they won in 2013, Shane O'Donnell scored 3-3 in the final, and it was just a crazy few months around Shane O'Donnell. Yeah, you know, and I would have heard stories that he was in college down in Cork at the time, and the chap couldn't even go on a night out with his friends, that he was just swarmed everywhere he went, you know, in college and even down in Clare. So, you know, it was the real euphoria of winning your first and being so young, but you know, he really showed his experience and leadership qualities, you know, yesterday and all this year. You know, when Clare were in trouble this year, Shane O'Donnell was the man they turned to, and he continued to perform every single day. And you know, you put the likes of Tony Kelly beside this man then, with the display he had yesterday, you know, they had two savage hurlers leading the line.
Yeah. And Richie, just looking at ratings, you know, when you look through at the Clare team, you know, particularly Hogan at the back and Ryan Conlon, you know, up to Kelly there, as we've been mentioning, and the likes of Aidan McCarty and Shane O'Donnell. I'm just looking at the Cork ratings. It comes down to extra time and a point, and it looks as if, you know, the ratings are so much higher on the Clare side, but yet it comes down to a one-point game. Is it a thing where obviously the victors write the script in terms of who operated well on the pitch, because it was so, so close?
Absolutely, Brendan. You know, and like, look, when you look, the victors will always get the plaudits, and they'll always get the 8 and the 9s out of 10s, and maybe one or two might get 10 out of 10, and you know, very rarely happens. And then the team that are beaten, you know, would be probably in the 6s and 7s, but it doesn't tell the real story. Like Cork have been phenomenal this year, and again yesterday, like you look at Seamus Harnady yesterday, he was absolutely outstanding. Tim O'Mahony, you know, the two Downies were brilliant. You know, Shane Barrett had a very good first half. You know, like it's, if anything, probably Cork's big players that were having fantastic seasons coming into the final didn't perform yesterday, and that's probably the one thing they look back on over the winter months. Was, you know, Dara Fitzgibbon was probably in line for hurler of the year if Cork had won yesterday. Probably his poorest performance of the year. You know, Decky Dalton taken off after 40-50 minutes, you know, was excellent against Limerick, even though he kind of, his job was to keep Kyle Hayes out of the game. And you know, Alan Connolly taken off, who was having a phenomenal season. Patrick Horgan, you know, probably quietish from play, but absolutely brilliant from the freeze. So, like, I think Cork didn't perform to the level that they performed against Limerick in the final. And I think that when they do look back on it over the winter, they'll, you know, realising how close they got without actually performing to their full potential, you know, has to give them a great deal of, I suppose, hope and I suppose ambition going forward, that they're an unbelievably young team. Like, yeah. Seamus Harnady, 34, Patrick Horgan, 35, or 36, sorry. I think they're all under 30, apart from those two guys. So they're a very, very, very young team, and they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah. And do you think, in many ways, I suppose, that Limerick going out of the picture no more than the football as well, it's going to be, it's a different season. It's good for the other teams in and around it. They say, listen, the machine has been broken at last. Or where do you see that going?
Look, it is absolutely, it's fantastic for sport, and like I don't think I've ever seen an atmosphere at a game like I saw and experienced yesterday, Brendan. And you know, that's down to the Cork supporters and the Clare supporters. But look, you know, people might say that it's the change in the guard. I'm not so sure it is. I've no doubt that this Limerick team are going to be back probably stronger and hungrier than ever next year. And I suppose that's the big challenge for Limerick, you know, like that. Yeah, they were going for five in a row this year. They were beaten in a semi-final. But, you know, I suppose if they want to be, you know, they will go down as one of the best teams of all time. But if they want to go down as one of the greatest, you know, yeah, when you have a setback like that, the big challenge is to come back and climb the mountain again. So I think that's going to be the big challenge for Limerick. But look, it definitely gives hope to the Kilkennys. It gives hope to, you know, Tipperary, the Waterfords, that, you know, will hopefully come back stronger next year to see Clare, you know, winning an All-Ireland this year. Because who would have thought? And now I would have put Clare probably in the top three going into this year's championship. You know, Cork would have been probably number four. I obviously would have given Kilkenny and Limerick then as probably my top four teams to contest semi-finals, and, you know, which they did. But I suppose we didn't, you know, the two semi-final results, when you look back on all the four semi-finals, football and hurling, the four favourites were probably beaten in all the semi-finals.
Yes, interesting. And a word on Johnny Murphy. He got a belt himself for his troubles, and there seems to be this element, Richie, and I actually love this, of refs want to let it play in the hurling. Do you think it sometimes goes a bit the other way in terms of it's all in, just keep it's like a practice game, you'd see it. I remember.
Listen, I thought Johnny Murphy done an absolutely fantastic job yesterday.
Yes.
He added to the occasion, he let it flow. And listen, yeah, there was some decisions he got wrong. But, you know, he got wrong for both sides. Now, obviously everyone is focusing in on the last play and Conor Lean pulling Robbie O'Flynn's jersey. And yes, if it was seen by the referee and the official, he would have blown the whistle and given the free, but he didn't see it. You know, there were so many bodies in his eye line at that moment in time. It was the last play of the game. Every Clare player was back between the referee and the goal. So, like, you have to excuse him. And, like, you have to remember, Johnny Murphy was running for 95 minutes as well as the players. Now, okay, he wasn't taking the hits and he wasn't, you know, probably going at the pace that the players were. But it's still a huge ask of, and again, he's an amateur sports person. But from my point of view, I thought he'd done a fantastic job. It you know, it flowed for the 95 minutes. There was no stop start for freeze, for this and for that.
Yeah.
And I give him great credit for that. Now, look, I know some decisions were wrong, but look, that happens in every game. And in fairness to Cork, there's been no complaining, there's been no sour grapes about it. You know, Donal Cusick was very, very humble on the Sunday game after the game, that they didn't want to focus in on that last play. It was literally, you know, you had to just admire and congratulate all both teams and all the players involved, because, as I said, for an amateur sport, I don't think they should have been asked to play extra time yesterday, Brendan. I think the GAA have got it wrong. You know, what a spectacle we'd have in 2 weeks' time if it went to a replay. You'd have another full house in Croke Park, and it'd be an unbelievable advertisement for hurling. But look, that's the decision the GAA made, but I think they got it wrong, and I thought it was very unfair on those players, because so many players had to go off due to cramp, you know, and, you know, they missed the opportunity to get their team over the line.
Yeah, and I suppose, Richie, when you're evaluating it, for years there was replays. Remember, there was a time you were probably playing, was it 3 years in a row, there was draws, things were so tight, and, you know, that thing of extra time, I suppose you had to take that in, because if there was a replay, you wouldn't have the same type of drama, which made it even, I suppose, such a more of a spectacle in terms of the drama. But, Richie, when players are putting so much into that and playing at such a level, 20 minutes is a huge asking time. And Richie, I heard stories now, you were at the game, of people leaving after the match. They thought it was over. Did you see that, Richard?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I didn't even know myself, Brendan, to be honest with you. The referee blew up the whistle and I had to turn around and ask, was there extra time? People didn't know.
Everybody was asking you. You're supposed to.
But there was an announcement, announcement then that all trains were being delayed by a half an hour due to extra time. So no one really knew. Like, I'm sure the players and the management and the teams involved knew that if it was a draw, it would have been extra time. But certainly, a lot of people in the stadium certainly didn't know that there was going to be extra time. And, like, even when I went out, you know, I went out to the bathroom after at a full time, and even the shops and everything were closed. That they were closed down, you know, because obviously they felt the game was going to be over and the stadium was going to be evacuated. So, you know, I just think, like, what an opportunity for the GAA. And again, from, I suppose, we all talk about the financial implications. Like, it would have been a huge revenue for the GAA, sure, because 82,000, you're looking at 8 million in ticket sales alone, Brendan, and then what else the day brings. So, like, I just think, you know, for amateur players, like, I know back in our time, I definitely don't think if extra time was played in our games that our fitness levels were probably as high as the players were today, and we physically you just wouldn't be able. And I met a man today, and he said the same thing. He said extra time turned in to, it was a battle of stamina, not a battle of hurling, because players were just trying to get to the ball. They were trying to just, you know, have scrappy play, you know, the real, and still there were some fantastic scores, don't get me wrong, but if you had seen the players, you know, trying to get to balls, they were literally just out on their feet. And I just, you know, I would have loved to have seen another 70, 75 minutes of that in 2 weeks' time. And it's just a pity, because, you know, hurling needed it. We got two great semi-finals and we got a great final out of the year. You look back over the provincial championship, we got a couple of, okay, the Limerick-Cork game, an unbelievable game. But from a hurling point of view, I just don't think we're promoting it in the right way. And, you know, a replay of yesterday's game would have been a brilliant way of promoting it.
Certainly. Richie, just that last play on it, but obviously in normal time, it was Aaron Shanahan, the pullback that was seen, that led the equaliser. And again, that man is Patrick Horgan. I mean, you say 13 points, so difficult to be on the losing side. But the final play there, I hate the game comes down to somebody missing. You know, did you think, Richie, that the pull was the reason he missed? Because I wasn't sure about that. Now, you know, when you see a jersey and you know yourself when you're pulled, sometimes it doesn't really do anything to you. It looks like it is, maybe from a TV, but do you think it was just the player just cooked it a wee bit?
Look, it's hard to know, Brendan. Yeah. Only Robbie O'Flynn can probably answer that question. If anything, it may have put him off, a little bit off balance, but, you know, I suppose a player of his standard and in today's game probably still should have been taken the opportunity. It was an unbelievable catch. Everyone knew it was the last play of the game. It came out of, he jumped probably 4, 5, 6 foot in the air, caught the ball and came down. And I'd say only for Conor Lean did grab him. You know, maybe Robbie O'Flynn might have got away from him to make the shot, I suppose, a little bit easier. But the fact that he held on to him a little bit, he had to take it on. And, you know, unfortunately for him, it drifted to the right-hand side of the post. So, look, it's very, very hard to tell. You know, I see an interview today Conor Lean gave that he said if he was back again, he'd do exactly the same thing again. So, you know, he certainly doesn't regret what he done. But look, it's unfortunate. If Johnny Murphy had seen the jersey pull, he would have blown the whistle. He would have allowed advantage, but he would have brought it back for a free if he saw it. He didn't see it, and it was the last chance. And unfortunately for Cork, that's the way it ended. But, you know, I don't think it had a huge, huge bearing on the strike, to be honest about it. It was a little grab. I don't think there was much force in it. But again, as I said, only Robbie O'Flynn alone.
Yeah. But Richard, I totally agree, because there was so much bravery shown by all the players. I think anybody that came on and contributed to that game, no matter what you did physically and what you put into it in terms of skills or tackling or closing down and work rate, it was such an effort that everybody just has to be commended. And I think you're right. So I just felt from, I think we're both forwards in our time, you know, you have the old haunting one that comes back there. So you would hope that he would get back in his day. And maybe Cork, of course, not beating Kilkenny in a final or something. But you think this Cork team, young team, Richie, they'll get their transfer retribution?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a huge chance there for redemption, Brendan. And to be honest about it, I probably would have I would have picked Cork, you know, I suppose, looking at their performance in Páirc Uí Chaoimh against Limerick, knowing that, you know, they were probably very confident of beating Tipperary and qualifying. I did say that, I said before the semi-finals, I said the only team that'll beat Limerick this year is Cork. I genuinely believe that. I didn't think, there's a mental block, I think, with Clare when it comes to Limerick. And personally, I don't think Kilkenny would have been strong enough or good enough to beat him in an All-Ireland final. So I did say Cork were the only team that could beat Limerick, and whoever was going to beat Limerick was going to have a huge say, obviously. But I think, look, Pat Ryan, you know, has an unbelievable panel there to work with. I think it's very important that he keeps Seamus Harnsey and Patrick Horgan for maybe one more year to, you know, even just, you know, I suppose ease the transition and have experience in that dressing room. And whether it is just to use him as a 20, 25 minute impact sub, you know, I think they're two guys that you'd love to have around the setup. But I think the future is bright for Cork. And but as I said, you're going to have to deal with the green animal coming back again next year, because you know Limerick aren't gone away. Limerick didn't hurl bad in the semi final. Cork just took their level to a different level, and you know it's going to be very, very interesting. Clare All Ireland champions, and you know they'll enjoy the next couple of weeks and months, but it won't be long before we're talking about 2025 and who we fancy or who's going to be, you know, in contention to win the All Ireland next year.
For sure. And Richie, final question. I know you're coaching club hurling there. What about the ultimate there? Can you see yourself on the line for the Kilkenny men at some stage? Is that, would that be a goal of yours?
I don't think so, Brendan. No, I don't think so. You know, I'm enjoying the club scene at the moment down in Wexford, and I'm still very, I suppose, inexperienced in that regard. So I'll do my apprenticeship anyway and see what comes my way down the line. But look, Kilkenny's in safe hands at the moment with Derek and the lads, and you know, hopefully. You'd love to see Henry get back involved in Kilkenny at some level as well in the next year or two, and hopefully, I suppose, progress to taking on the senior job at some stage. So, you know, look, it's in safe hands, but definitely in Kilkenny, we're looking at a rebuild, a building job for the next 3 to 5 years. And, you know, I think that's what needs to be done, and that's what we need to focus on in Kilkenny. And next year, we'll be 10 years without an All-Ireland next year if we don't win it. So, I think we need to put a plan in place and have an aim in mind, and look, we'll see what happens down the line.
Yeah. Listen, Richie, brilliant roundup as ever. We'll be talking again in the future. Good luck with the club season.
Cheers, Brendan.
Top man. Yeah, Richie Power there, Kilkenny legend. Top man.
I think everyone is just shuddering to hear that Kilkenny are going to come back with a plan.
if he's saying it, we're in trouble.
You forget it's 10 years since the last one in All-Ireland, so is it that long?
Time flies on. Yeah. Time flies on, especially with Kilkenny. Used to them winning it so often. You know, 10 years, then it happens quick. I suppose Limerick's domination in the middle of that. Derek Boners put his head in there. Like, a nice haircut and all. Championship cut. Park, he's joining us now. We're going to round
it's
up.
Getting that feel, yeah. That's Championship, the grass is...
100%. We'll be back after this break. Yes, folks, welcome back. Paul McDevitt here is producing. He says to start taking it serious because we're having a laugh in here. Park, he's in charge now, Park. Yeah, see the difference now when Joe Deck's not here? This man's telling me what to do.
I know. He's given out this once, you know.
They're always trying to boss everybody. You know, the Cork man's the Cork man's keeping very quiet here. Jimmy Stafford, of course.
He's duking about, you know.
You're right, 100%. Dara, you're welcome.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks for having me back up. Good to be here.
Good man. It's time for you just took a breath after the county season and it's rattled into the club. There, you're out and about at the weekend. I suppose we're going to look across all the league finals and playoffs and relegations, and we'll have a wee look across to the All-Ireland football final as well. I suppose start at the top. Niamh Connell, a repeat of the championship final and a repeat of the outcome.
Yeah, well, I suppose it didn't start the same way as the championship final from last year. Gidor were well in it until, I think it was the 25th minute, whenever Brendan McDyer got his goal. Give him the benefit of the doubt that he meant it anyway. He lobbed it over Dahi Roberts. It did look like he meant it, to be fair, now, but it was a brilliant goal. And
did you not interview Brendan after?
I didn't get on him. I should have.
You could tell by his reaction, yeah, if he's trying to bluff you or not.
No, I should have. I missed the trick there now, but give him the benefit of the doubt.
Look, these men, Niamh Connell men, were definitely saying it was a bit of a, you know, he didn't mean it, so they weren't giving him any credit anyway.
Tied early on, low score, was it 3-each, and then Niamh Connell had
I think it was 4-3 maybe, and then they got the 1-2 before the break, just 5 minutes, and then I suppose that once you go 6 down to Niamh Connell,
control the game then?
And it was very much, you know, it was tit for tat. Now, I was saying to you earlier on about Guido had a couple of goal chances, and, you know, if they got those goals, you know, they were catching actually the long kick out strategy that Dahi Roberts was putting in there. They got a lot of, possession out of that. So, you know, from the Niamh Connell point of view, that's something I mentioned to Martin Regan after the game. I said, from a defensive point of view, the copped up opportunities. Mm. Look, for the goal opportunity Gidor had at that time, I can't remember exactly what time it was, but I think it was before the first goal went on. You know, and a goal is a massive score in any game, you know. And what I give, I suppose Gidor had a younger side out, Brendan, you know, and that was a big factor. But Niamh Connell getting that edge going on at half time, and I think the way they started the second half, you know, 8 minutes in, they got another goal, and you know, that was trouble then.
From last year, obviously, there's improvement in Gidor, are you saying there? Listen, I've seen them in the league earlier, you know, they were going really well, the game I seen them. I was impressed with them. You know, do you think there's strides being made there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember speaking to Ronan McNeillis, and even there last week, speaking to Niall Friel, and they've all kind of said that getting to the final last year wasn't really something that they were intending to do. It just happened, and it was maybe a bit too early in their process, I suppose. And I suppose they just didn't start well that day. But no, they were well in the game last day. And as Park says, like, I mean, they had a couple goal chances, like, they got in behind a good few times. It's Niamh Connell's not like them letting a team in like that, but they still got away with it anyway until the goal near the end. But that was kind of just a bit of a consolation at that point, I suppose.
Yeah. And you get from Barroti, man, the match, of course, looks like this man's, he wasn't allowed in the Donegal squad last year. He was mistakenly in it. He definitely looked like he's going to be in it next year.
Yeah, well, I thought he was very good now, and I think he set up the two goals as well, like, but he played very well. And I think we were just saying there now, like, the Niamh Connell team, they were still missing Kieran Thompson, Anthony Thompson, Leo McLoon, Ethan O'Donnell's supposed to be coming back for the championship too, so there's still a lot of bodies to come in, as well as adding him into the team this year. And young Mark McDevitt as well looks like a good player too, so looks like they're getting stronger, if anything.
Good. And just on the likes of Finbar, you seen Donegal, our squad looked a wee bit, we didn't have any impact. Or a final game with energy and that. You're looking at someone like him, and I know he's still dead young, but is he somebody, you know, you think he might need a while to get in, or could he be an option? Do you think he's physically already getting there? Because he looks like he's physically
well
there.
He definitely is. Now, you know, to be fair, it's a different game, but Jim McGuinness wouldn't have brought him in at that stage than he did to try him out. You know, I was very impressed with Fimber on Saturday. Just thought he broke the lines, he took the ball into the tackle, got it out at the right time. And sometimes that's, you go into certain games like that game, you know, there was aspects where you had to be mindful of when you were giving the ball out, because Gidor was, you know, they were fairly heavy in the tackle as well. But from Finbar's point of view, giving him the man of the match was definitely, I thought he was the man of the match that particular day. He is going to be something that Donegal fans will be watching quite intensely over the championship season, see how he develops now. His name's out there. Look, he didn't disappoint on Saturday, and look, he's one for the future, definitely. Can he fit in to Jim McGuinness's side? I definitely do think he can. Absolutely. He's actually, John Galley, we were doing the Donegal live stream, and we were just having a conversation about Finbar, actually, you know, the development of him over the last while as well. And, you know, he's one of those types of players that he can go forward as well as defend. And during Saturday's game, just some of the tackles he was putting in was definitely really, really good at the defensive side as well as going forward. So he's going to be someone Jim's going to have deep thoughts, I would say, about Brendan.
Yeah, how do we, I'm looking at the league there, you know, a lot of games seem to be almost fulfilling fixtures, if you like, at times, in terms of players missing and teams' attitude because of the way the season is now. You know, it's all about championship, really. So was this a good final game? You know, we're a couple of weeks out from championship for these two teams, in terms of, listen, the league's about learning. You know, I don't think anybody's ever that worried. I think it's nice if you won the championship to have won the league, because it's like a double. But I think if you won the league on its own, it probably doesn't mean an awful lot. But still, I suppose for Gidor, learnings from the game, and for Niamh Connell, just that confidence of coming through and winning another title.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I mean, both teams would have taken a lot from that game, definitely. Like, it gives Ronan McNeillis and Gidor a chance to see where they are at compared to Glenties again. And, like, I mean, they put it well up to Glenties. Niamh Connell, they were, I suppose they knew what they wanted to do out of that game, and that was to win it. And then, like, I suppose there's some games towards maybe the end of the league where you did have, I think I was at Gidor's last game against Kilcare, and Kilcare were out of the picture, so they didn't have, I mean, they didn't field a reserve team that day, and they had the bare bones with them going down to Maharagallen. So sometimes at that point of the season, maybe you are just dwindling out. But I mean, there was plenty to play for at the bottom as well, coming into that last game too.
That's right. That's right. You want to. I suppose that's a big thing there. Probably staying in the division is important as any in terms of if you want to progress. Of course, we'll look at little Division One playoff chairman Niamh Breed. Park, we have to mention your men. They came out swinging 215-111. Good victory
against Eru. Yeah, it was great victory.
Rio, sorry.
Great victory for
Eru. I need these glasses on.
There was a lot of games over the weekend. a lot of games at the weekend, but good for the lads, for the work and the ethics that we're putting in over the last. Not just the last couple of months. These lads have really worked hard in the league. It didn't really look like a couple of games back, maybe four or five games back, that they were going to get up. But look, they got a little bit of the rub of the green. And suppose against Eru, coming into this, it was a dangerous game for them because obviously Eru lost their banisher. Morris McLaughlin was replaced by Conor Cunningham. And look, as I say, that was that happened in Ballyshannon. But suppose Eru finished third last year. The year before they were up around the top as well, so it was a dangerous game, but from a Terman point of view, you know, we're very satisfied with the performance, very satisfied with getting back to Division 1. It's huge for the club, and as I say, we're really looking forward to getting up next year.
Yeah, what did you make of that game, Tara?
Yeah, I was impressed by Terman. I've seen them a couple of times during the league as well in games against good sides like the Killy Beggs, Ardrail, two senior teams. They put them to the sword both games as well, and then coming in this game, like obviously as Park said about a bit of turmoil, I suppose maybe at Eru, but they still had to come up and do their job, and they did it brilliantly. And just when that team does click together attacking, they're brilliant to watch now.
Yeah, this management change has happened there. I suppose it's one of them things. If it wasn't working out, you may change it and give somebody a bit of time to have a bit of a build in the championship.
Yeah, it was just bad timing with the fact that they had a relegation game. I mean, you can't put too much pressure on Morris McLaughlin with that game. I mean, just coming in a couple of days before it, really. But I suppose they're just really going to need to rebuild for the championship now, because they have been pushing in that championship the last couple of years, trying to make a semi-final and haven't been able to get there.
Yeah, and that doesn't have much. Area of the game is all built on real deep counter-attack, you know. You look at that sometimes, Org, you think, you mentioned where they went, they climbed up a certain level. I always thought then that that's only going to take you so far, you know. You need, you know, probably more elements to the game. Did you get that feeling from
you? You definitely do, Brendan. I think when it comes to championship football, you know, that aspect of you know what they were trying to achieve with the defensive side of it, trying to get the counter attack, and I think good teams will suss that out fairly quickly and nullify it. Look, they got a couple of good results last year with it in the championship, if you look at it that way, and within the league it worked really well for them as well. But to make that step up, that you're going to take out maybe one of the big three, four teams, you know, you need to maybe relook at your game plan and how you go about it. But disappointing for Ballyshannon. They'll really be really annoyed up there with going down to Division 2, because it's a hard division to get out of. You know, you have more chance of staying up in Division 1. I think I was speaking to the guys from Clonaily, were saying the exact same thing. You have more opportunity to stay in Division 1 than getting out of Division 2, and we know that down in Terman, because it is week in, week out. You know, you just don't know where results are going to go, you know, and that's the thing. So look, disappointment from a Ballyshannon Eru point of view. They'll have to regroup now for the championship, and again maybe look at their performances and see where they can go from here.
Yeah, but listen, good positive from the tournament. I mentioned Niamh Breed there. They were playing Clonaily, of course, in the Division 2-3 promotion play of or relegation. So Clonaily coming through on penalties and had another penalty shootout. I wonder how many club teams are practicing penalties then.
You'll have to wonder about it now, because it's getting more and more common anyway, and I suppose maybe they wouldn't have expected to be going to penalties, but they would have bit your hand off for penalties coming towards the end of that game in normal time and extra time. Clonaily, they fairly had to come back in it now, but yeah, I suppose the penalty shootouts are getting.
They must be good penalties, 5-4.
Yeah, just one missed. I think it was the first one of the game as well.
Was it?
It was missed, I believe. So that's, there you go.
Yeah, not a good night for somebody. You were handing off the penalties, were you, Perry?
No, they tell me you get out of the road. Like,
you, you would have kept the eyes on the keeper. You're one of them.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think so now, but yeah, look, Clonie Lee came down last year from Division 1, like, and lost a lot of players, and you know, it's not an easy way to, like, penalties as a lottery, Brandon, as we know. So as I say, is it something we want to see, or replays? It's hard to know. I don't know. There's open opinions on penalties now, but if they sort out a game, look, it's not for me anyway, I don't think. But look, Clonie Lee not mind too much.
Definitely. Division 2, this Four Masters juggernaut, is it going to catch fire now from underage? We're wondering. I mean, they've absolutely dominated underage, and obviously Abbey VS down there as well, you know, winning titles. You know, there's an unbelievable amount of talent. Balancing that in the men's football can be difficult, and you know, Division 2, 179 point victory over Buncrana. Where do you see this Four Masters team going this year, Darren?
It's a hard one to say. I mean, like, they have obviously been dominating, and they're only kind of just getting that step up now. Like, it's maybe a couple of years out yet before they can actually properly kick on. But I mean, obviously the reserve team even got to the final there, the Division 2B, and I think that team's full of young, like, teenagers as well, like the ones that haven't yet pushed on as well, like, just out of minors. And then if you look through that team that won there the other day, they're full of them as well. It's one that I suppose might take a couple more years for Kevin Sinclair and the team down there. But
is it important that he stays in charge, do you think, and that you have kind of, I think when you're bringing through players, that what you need is continuity.
Yeah.
Because you know, it can be difficult for young lads, you're particularly used to winning all the time, coming in the environment then where they're not the best team there, and then how they still mature and get better in that. I think continuity, particularly from the management, is key there, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think their minor team currently have been managed by the two there for I don't know, 3 or 4 years as well. Like, it's obviously been working for them too, and I think that's what most clubs are trying to do these days now. And you see it even coming up the higher levels, like, any, the minor managers could be going on to being the 21s and then up to the first team, and it does seem to be working for them anyway. And I suppose they just need to keep going as best they can at the minute with it. Mm.
There was another team dominated underage there a number of years ago. It was Glen Mahara before they went up the road. Do you think there could be something brewing big with the Four Masters, boys?
I definitely do think so. Like, at underage, they've got it so right, you know, and going up to Division 1 can only benefit them as well. You know, the younger players getting exposed to a higher standard of football. You know, it's how they respond to that, Brendan, because remember Termon up a couple of years ago with a very successful young minor team and then done 21 finals and things like that, and you know, it is a big step up, you know, in that regard. But looking at this young side, like, they're coming with serious pedigree, and you've seen what Gidor did with their under 21s when they won Ulster a couple of years ago. They went on to become Ulster, you know, so bringing youth. And then, you know, I just chatting to a couple of the guys up there, Odie McBride, who's originally from down our way, is up there, his son's playing, of course, for them as well. And it's just, there's a great vibe within the Donegal town. You know, there's just so much, and just looking at when the last won a senior title was back in 2010, you know, so to think it took them that length of time to get back up, you know, it's going to be so much of what they're looking to achieve now that they've done it underage. Why not? But it's just making that step up, as we know, can take a couple of years, you know. But great signs from Four Masters. Really excited to see a couple of these players develop, and look, I'm sure everyone in the county is as well.
Yeah, is there a template there? Do other clubs need to look at Four Masters, do you think, there, and say, right, how come someone can turn such success, you know, year on year, you know, from that kind of dominance in terms of their template for coaching and that? Is it something, if I was a club which was a bit outside of the championship, say, running now, I'd be going finding out what happened to Four Masters. What did you do? You know, it's been a brilliant effort from the club to get them back. You know, not just, obviously, their underage success is their the one standalone competition. That's brilliant. But obviously, you're always looking into the future. Your senior team represents the club. You know, that's the truth of the matter. So that's the team that you want to be at the best.
Yeah, it's a hard one because, like, obviously there's just genuine raw talent there as well, no doubt. But, like, the fact that they're doing it year on year at the minute at the underage levels, you just wonder, can anyone get on a wee look at the outside? Maybe they're going to have to build a wall themselves out there.
But build the wall, yeah. that's they'll go up looking for information and they'll not be let in. There'll be security there.
Well, success leaves clues. You look at Glenties, you know, they're unaided with the under-21s a number of years ago, and you look at that team, made the breakthrough. So, you know, you definitely look at the template that Four Masters have put in place, but there's other aspects of that as well. When you go to Gidor, if you go to Glenties and you see the work that's happening now for Masters as well, it's very impressive, and you definitely would go up and have a chat if you could get Kevin Sinclair to have a talk to you. He might come down and chat to you, do he?
Right, yeah. I'd like to talk to
you. I'll put a call to him.
Well, ring him up now. Interesting stuff. Fair play to Four Masters. Cairn Donagh, Division 3 title winners against Convoy, 10 points to 7 points. Cairn Donagh coming with something, do you think, you know, good catchment area? You know, you always think there should be good potential there, you know, in terms of that area for that size of a town.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose it's one where they're also very focused on the hurling. They've that many dual stars in that team at the minute too. I think they won the hurling intermediate title there. I think that was their first intermediate. So they're obviously pushing at both codes, and it's kind of...
Of course, soccer's huge in, and then you've a lot of...
Yeah, exactly, up there. Yeah, soccer's obviously a massive one up there too. So it's probably just trying to keep them all to focus on one thing, maybe, if they can, but... I suppose between, like, for the club itself, like, you, when you have hurling coming on so much too, it's kind of hard to push just the football on itself. But obviously they're going the right direction doing that the last day. Convoy had obviously went through the whole league unbeaten, and then it seemed like Cairn Donagh fairly turned them over easy enough the last day, and then you still have Conor O'Donnell to put into that equation too.
That's
so
right.
they'll be definitely pushing for that junior title this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I was thinking about Conor. I was so sad we missed out on the Galway, because there we're on about at Finbarn, and we're looking at next year. What can we do that bit extra? What can Jim have that bit extra to bring in? He would have been on. I think he probably would have started actually, but then that would have meant someone who started was able to come in. So what was that injury? Do you know what he had in the end? Or?
I actually don't know what it was now. No,
I didn't hear, because once he couldn't play and then the season was over, I didn't hear.
You were scratching your head wondering why he wasn't coming on, or, you know, I suppose it wasn't known why, but huge player to bring on at that crucial time, Brendan, and as I say...
Because he looked sharp in those games, every game he was scoring, and he's very direct. See, that direct run is what we needed at the end.
He's the man can take the ball off the shoulder and face and break tackles, and, you know, it's not too many players have that in their locker, and can kick scores from various different angles as well. So, you know, definitely a player Jim McGuinness will be looking forward to seeing in Division 2 next year. Obviously he's going to be playing his football there week in, week out. And Cairn Donagh, I suppose, is a success story for Minishone. Like, you know, you look at Buncrana as well, pushing for you know, Division 1 as well. So, you know, any shown teams are coming. Soccer is big down there, but, you know, I'm hearing that, as you were indicating, like Cairn Donagh, a dual club, you know, it's great to see it.
Great work. I felt proud of everybody in Cairn Donagh. That's what we want to see. Once those teams push up, you know, you always, like, I'm always speaking from a Donegal perspective, you always think, can we get a county player too often? You know, and obviously Conor is there. But as that grows and they get better, people start to push into that bracket, and that's what we need in the county. You were out about other places at the weekend. What else did you pick up there?
Yeah, I suppose it was just the first game on O'Donnell Park on Saturday. It was McCool's against Niamh Conlon, the Division 1B final, and I suppose that was a game that was neck and neck for about 55 minutes. McCool's they had the legs in them, and they had the fitness and the subs to bring on, and they fairly pushed on to
298 points.
Two brilliant goals in the end up, yeah, and they're fully deserving of the win now, to be fair. It's looking good there.
Yeah, for McCool's.
It's a good tight tussle now, honestly, in the last 10 minutes or so, you know, but McCool's, I think it was 19 years since the last won a senior title, so, you know, of any sort, but, you know, McCool's are coming as well, another team that, you know, are starting to edge in against the likes of Glenties and Unions and that, you know, as well. But the winner of reserve title, you know, a lot of young players as well, and very well conditioned, Brendan, has to be said as well. Like, for reserve football, like, you know, you would you'd blink twice and you'd think it's a senior team out there, you know. And look, it was a bit of a passionate speech by their captain, of course, on the day about, you know, McCool's, and, you know, that, that now's the time for them to start really pushing on, you know. So from McCool's point of view, it's great to see it. And from you know, from different clubs around the county, it's good to see it's someone different.
Yeah, another victory as well for Masters in the 2B.
Aye, back to back. Congratulations to Jimmy Gallagher there, I suppose, veteran of the club, you know. And again, I suppose we've got a number of good young players within the club coming together, and you know, the reserves have been flying this last number of years. They won the reserve last year and they won the league as well, and they're back up winning the league again this year, so good signs. And it's great.
Was there
see.
A bit of crack in the lagoon Sunday night, or
it was busy both nights. Busy both nights now, I think.
Yeah. Make sure one team's not along with the other just on the night before, eh? Yeah, that's all the league stuff, lads. Great roundup. Looking ahead to the championship now in a couple of weeks. It was 10th,
11th, I believe.
10th, 11th, starts on 10th. Yeah, yeah. Should be exciting. Looking ahead to it, lads. A small wee game on next week with just a couple of minutes. Say, there, where's your thoughts lie? People keep asking, Galway Armagh. I think they played, you know, 10 times, it'd be 5 each. I can't. No, anybody that goes heavy on one side or the other, it's impossible to call, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just every time I think about it, I'm just thinking, could be Galway, could be Armagh. Just feel like it's going to end up being a draw now.
I think physically, you know, they've both got quite similar in terms of how they play. They're big men, they have great subs, and they, you know, different, I think, to they're both bringing wild energy to it. I think they're very well matched, probably.
Without doubt. Like, you know, I think Galway came into the final, they didn't perform too well from their own high standards. You know, a number of key players didn't get up to the levels that they normally do get up to. So Pádraig Joyce is he'd be really looking forward to this one. So you're right, Brennan, it's very, very hard to call. Like, I think the Armagh support is going to be massive, as is the Galway support, and it is. I think Galway, if Shane Walsh is fit and Comer's back to the levels,
you're going to be one of those definitely people, are you?
I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I think Galway. I just think for me, Galway are.
Right, I'll tell you. So, what about the last day? Jarley Hoog, Oisin O'Neill, Shippy Campbell. I mean, why players do you bring in? The game's in the melting pot. I think the Galway have great bench as well, but I think there's more scoring power on the Armagh bench. And as we know, 70 minutes, it's because there's so much up and down by everybody. You know, I'm slightly leaning towards them, even though I'm half Galway, man. I better be careful, my mum's listening. What do you think?
That's the way I was kind of looking at it. I think it's a weird one for me. I think if Galway could win it in normal time, but I think if it goes to extra time, I think Armagh are going to get it then, because just as you said,
you wouldn't be surprised about that, actually, if it does.
That's how close I think it's going to be.
Because the nature of the game is that when a team goes under a couple of point leads, they tend to invite the other team back into it. I mean, last day Galway were inviting Donegal to come and get the equaliser, and even their two up, come and get the point. We're going to sit. You know, it's then that you need those players. So if we had that injection that them guys brought, you might have been able to, you know, break the lines a bit better, or have a wee bit of extra composure.
But I, you know, suppose when you look at the performance of the two key men, you know, if they're fully fit again and where their fitness is at from a Galway point of view, that changes the dynamic of Galway completely, you know. But again, I suppose from a Donegal point of view, we snuffed them out, you know, in that performance by Brendan McCall, and who was Owen Bann, who's picking up Shane Walsh as well. So look, if spots and maybes, right, it's going to be a thriller.
What a season McCall has. He might get an award yet himself before the season's out. As we're down to the last couple of six here, tell me, you're going Galway, going draw, and I'll go Armagh. So we have it all covered then. All right?
Well, no, this is right.
Listen, Darren Bonner of Donegal News, fair play, Pádraig Hilfrey, as ever. Jimmy Stafford's here, Brandon, looking after me, and of course, the wee throne man there. What do you call him? Paul? So call who? Paul McDavid, you might have heard of him, yeah.
Thanks,
listen,
Paul.
I'll be back next week to talk about the Ireland football final. I'll speak to you then.